presenting a new exciting radio program featuring the thrilling adventures of
Comic Dorks.
Thrilling adventure, intense excitement, pounding action, and spine-tingling mystery.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Dorks. This is Comic Dorks episode 1-1. That's 11. It is Thursday, June 27th, 2013. My name is Scott Johnson. I'm joined tonight by Scott Kurtz. Hello, Scott.
Hello.
Mark Spagnuolo. Hello, Mark.
Howdy.
And then rounding us out, of course, Mr. Steven Schleicher himself. Mr. Major Spoilers, how's it going?
Great to be here.
Good deal. Here we are, everybody. Brand new episode. Next week is Nerdtacular, so we had to get one in before all that went down. At least three of the four of us will be there, and very much looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to press flesh with Steven, Mark, or myself, then prepare yourselves to press our flesh. All right. So I want to say right up front here, pretty early, we're going to talk about Superman.
Spoilers.
The Man of Steel. There'll be spoilers. We're not going to dance around any of it. So if you haven't seen the movie and if you're concerned about spoilers, although honestly there aren't, well, whatever. My opinion is there's not much in the movie to spoil anyway. But if that's your thing and you're feeling like a house divided by that, you may not want to listen and save
the
show
for later.
He's from
Krypton. What?
Kryptonian? What the hell? He doesn't have the underwear on the outside. See, that's the big shocker for this.
He's
Superman.
An alien.
Yeah. What the hell is up with that? So we're going to talk like no holds barred, like straight up all about it. So again, last warning, if you want to pause it, listen to this later. Great. If not, enjoy. Because we're here to talk about it. And we got a live chat room. So hello, live chat room. It's good to have you guys here. If you guys got comments/questions, feel free to throw them out. I'll try to keep my eye on this thing. And I think Steven has it up as well. We can both be looking at that.
Yep.
All right. Let's just dive right into this week's big topic.
The stolen plans of the Vibrator were destroyed, along with the only two criminals who knew how to operate it.
All right. Superman. Clark Kent. Movie. Man of Steel. Zack Snyder.
Sexy.
So I don't even know where to begin with this, except to say it's a divisive film, perhaps the most divisive this year, period. If you go to Rotten Tomatoes, it's kind of straight up and down near 50%, a little higher than that. But the 50% who like it, of critics, really liked it. And there's not a lot of weird middle ground. And people who hate it really, really hate it. And so I feel like that's something I didn't expect with this movie. I didn't know it would be such a divisive film. We've all seen it. In fact, Mark just got back from seeing it.
Yep.
3D, what'd you do? Would you do the big deal or just something?
Just regular.
Okay, straight up, like old school. That's what I did.
That's it. Yeah. You know what?
That's how I watch movies.
Mark, how do you feel now that you're out of the movie?
Yeah, how you feeling?
Like I got to take a pee. Overall, I was just not moved very much by it, and I don't know if I'm just jaded to this story. Like if we get another Spider-Man in 10 years, is that going to move me? Because I already know the storyline so well.
Yeah.
I'm just not that interested in who Superman is. So I'm allowing for the possibility that it is just me and my lack of a relationship with Superman. But I wasn't really moved by it. I expected there to be much more emotion to it and much more heart. And I just didn't feel like there was a whole lot there.
Interesting. I think that's a really interesting perspective from a guy who isn't, like you say, you don't hold a lot of Superman in your heart.
Right.
And you think that some of that might just be because, well, the characters never mattered that much to me. Scott Kurtz may have something to say about that movie and its quote unquote lack of heart. So Kurtz, I honestly feel like just unleashing the hounds, the Kraken, the world machine.
Yeah, I haven't really talked much about the movie. I mean, I've expressed on Twitter that I was disappointed. I think the phrase they used was Phantom Menace levels of disappointment. Mm. I was really bummed on the way home, and my wife was like, "Are you going to be okay?" Like that was the first thing she said to me.
Should we
when
call
the
someone?
Movie ended. Yeah. But because I kept turning to her during the movie and asking her questions like I was a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
And I just didn't understand.
Right.
Like
interestingly, my 6-year-old had no problem with it. So.
You took your kid to that movie?
I did.
You're a monster.
I know I am.
Does
I'll
he
explain
know,
more
has
later.
He, Okay.
No. We had a long conversation. My wife and I had a long conversation before about this is PG-13, and I knew what was coming up, and I'm like, do we do this? Superman is kind of like his thing and everything. And then I spent about an hour having a conversation with him talking about right and wrong, how far is too far, is killing okay, not okay,
yeah.
And just getting his perspective on it. And then we had a conversation afterwards. So
That is ridiculous. That is ridiculous. That is fucking heartbreaking.
Okay, now hold on. Let's give us some perspective because, Scott, you've confided in me. Hopefully this isn't too personal to mention, but Superman has been a part of you and your the way you typed it is so much better than I'm going to say it. But you really hold the lore and the mythos of Superman and moreover, not so much as, oh, it's a great comic or it has been at times or any of that, but just the idea of Superman, the principles of Superman perhaps are really important to you, right?
Yeah.
Since you were a kid.
So Superman to me has always been very, very important. I don't know why. I think it speaks to me on a couple levels. I think it speaks to me in the sense that he's an immigrant. My father and my grandparents on both sides are immigrants. Mm-hmm. Plus, I mean, Superman is so steeped in that America that I grew up being taught about. So when you're raised by European immigrants, you're taught about America from an immigrant's point of view. And it's an adopted thing. It's like it was bad where we were, and this is awesome, and you will respect it and appreciate it and never take it for granted. And that's Superman. I mean, Superman is – it's his adoptive place. And then on top of that, I've always been kind of a mama's boy, and I've always been kind of a Catholic schoolboy. I mean, for lack of a better term, I never drank before I was 20. I mean, not in the sense that I went out and got drunk with my buddies. I mean, I grew up in a family where one half is Italian, one half is German. So it's not like I couldn't have had a beer if I didn't want one.
Right.
But, you know, I didn't do drugs. I didn't dick around. The first time I had sex was with my wife. I mean, we weren't married, but she's my wife. I knew she was my wife.
Right.
And it's like, that's not the cool thing to be ever growing up, is the one that always just wants to do the right thing.
Right.
And Superman makes it kind of cool to want to do the right thing. Superman is the character that stands up in front of everybody and says, you know, Bruce Wayne is like, oh, Clark, you're cynical. You're so fucking cynical. It's all corrupt. It's all fucking corrupt. And Clark says, Bruce, no, you're wrong. There's good in people. It doesn't have to be that way. Yeah, it is, but we can fight. I won't. I refuse to accept that. Why is he this way? Let's examine why he's this way.
Yeah.
Is it because he's faster than a speeding bullet? Is it because he can't be killed? Is it because he's super, super strong? Nope. Those things absolve him of having to be cynical. He doesn't have to worry about anything. He doesn't worry about being killed. He doesn't worry about being sick. He doesn't worry about being harmed. And it puts him in a position to where he's not susceptible to the fears and the cynicism, and he can be an ideal for us, and he can stand up there and he can say, guys, I mean, look, that's why everything in this movie is fucking bullshit and not Superman. And I'll tell you why, because if you compare, and look, the 70 whatever Donner film, I'm not going to pretend that I'm not attached to that because I was the right age at the right time.
Yeah, same.
Okay, but what I'm saying is if you go back and you compare scenes that are attached to the Superman mythos that are in both movies, and the Donner movie is far from perfect and is super campy at times, but you have Krypton, you have the journey to Earth, you have the parents finding him, you have him learning about his powers and his past, you have the reveal to Lois and the world, you have the world learning about who he is, usually you have a fight. And then the world realizes Superman's here to protect them, and he kind of takes his place as Earth's protector.
Right.
That's the Superman story. Yeah. And they've done it a bunch of times in different ways or another. But I guess Zack Snyder and fucking David Goyer found it in their infinite wisdom to decide they're going to make a different kind of movie and just shit all over the Superman mythos. If you want to make a First Contact story about a superhero, call it Irredeemable. Call it Ultraman. You don't fucking call it Superman. Compare the two scenes.
Technically, the movie's called Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Don't get me started. You don't hear the name Superman in that movie except for once, and
yeah,
they
three
mocked.
Times. Yeah, three times. Yeah.
Well, three times, but the one time's cut off. Right.
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 Second, right. Yeah. One time
she
didn't finish it.
It's when they're in the thing, and the peon guy goes, "General, Superman's on his way," and the general says, "Superman," and he goes, "Well, that's what they're calling Superman," and then they move on. So those are the only three times. If they hadn't have used that, let me ask you this: if they hadn't used Superman at all in the movie, would that have changed anything?
Yeah, I mean, it can be anyone. If Zack Snyder and David Goyer wanted to make an allegory to Superman and be like, what would it be like if Superman wasn't the best person? Fine, go make that movie. I want to watch it. I'll be the first in line. Mm-hmm. But it can't be Superman.
Right. No, that's an interesting point. You're basically
compare the rooftop scene with Lois
right.
in the Donner movie with the scene in the interrogation room. Okay, in this movie, which is their first contact in both movies. Okay, upstairs on the roof in the Superman movie, he says, she's like, "What are you about?" And he's like, "Well, yeah, my name's Kal-El, and I'm from Krypton." Okay, and do you eat? Yes, I eat. And what are you here for? Well, I'm here for truth, justice, and the American way. And she goes, "Well, you're gonna have to go after every elected official." And he says, "Come on, Lois, you don't really believe that, do you?" Okay, now in the new one, what does he say? He says, "You guys are afraid of me because you think you can't control me. Guess what? You can't. And guess what? I can see your skull and the roll of Tootsie Pops in his pocket behind your skull. And I don't – pink, fuck these handcuffs. And I'm – you know, what the fuck? What the fuck is happening?"
Right, right. So
every time Superman talks to humanity in this, he just shows up and he goes, "Hey, I'm here. I can kill you all. Fucking deal with it."
Yeah.
What is this?
You
trying
to
trap me with a drone?
You told me you called it being tone deaf. You stand by that? You think that's kind of what this felt like? They just weren't. There's not in touch with this character to know what that tone should be.
It's completely tone deaf to Superman, and let me explain it real quick.
Yeah.
They sum it up in one scene. Okay. In the final scene of this movie, Clark says to his mom, because I don't know why, but he says, "I wish Dad could have seen me accomplish all this." I don't know what the fuck he wanted his dad to see. The deaths
of millions.
Destroying
the city?
Yeah. reducing Metropolis to fucking ash.
Yeah.
Leading a fight to Main Street Smallville when he's surrounded by empty fields.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And she goes, "Oh, honey, believe me, he saw it." And then it cuts to this flashback where a young Jonathan Kent sees Clark tying a towel around his neck and putting his arms on his hips. Like, what? Who is he supposed to be in that? Right. Because it ain't fucking Superman. Because he never read Superman comics. And that's the point they're missing. That's where they're borrowing.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone criticized Abrams for borrowing for the new Star Trek movie. You can't steal these moments from other movies. That's not what Abrams did. But guess what they did for this movie? They fucking stole shit. You put the kid at the end in the cape and they don't even understand why that's important. Do you know why kids put a towel on their neck and put their arms on their hips? Because it's important to be Superman. Yeah. People don't put their arms on their hip and say, "I'm here to protect you, Mom," because they're Batman. At the end of the Iron Giant, he didn't fly towards the fucking nuke and say Spider-Man. He said Superman.
Yeah. That, you know what? You really got me with that one. You were typing that to me the other day and reminding me about that scene in Iron Giant, one of the greatest animated films of all time. And
yeah, it is.
And
now I've spoiled that movie.
Well,
oh no, that's
all right. Statute of limitations are up on that. But that is an emotional, tear-jerking. I as an adult cried twice in that freaking scene. If you showed it to me now, I'd probably do it again because it's been a little while. And part of that is because the big giant robot and the kid get it. They get who this character is. They get the essence of who this character is without even talking about him other than, that's going to be your name. You know?
Iron Giant is a better Superman movie than Man of Steel. Why? Because when he finds out he's a weapon and he says, "I'm a weapon," the kid says, "You can be whatever you want to be. Just because you have all this power doesn't mean you have to be a weapon. What do you want to be?" And what does the Iron Giant says? He sacrifices himself and he says Superman it's an ideal. It's something to be. That's why in the 50s they say look up in the sky, because he's above us. Look up in the sky in this movie is look up in the sky and get the fuck out of the way because you're going to be killed.
Yeah.
They're going to kill you. They're coming for you. It's death from above in this movie.
Yeah. Scott is like, he's like a politician that I'm, I hear him. Cause honestly, here's me walking out of the movie. I went out going, well, that is not a Superman I expected. That was disappointing in a bunch of ways, but it kind of felt like an alternate, like a Vertigo one-off comic book or something, which again, like you said, if that's what it was, then great. But they weren't, you know, certainly wasn't positioned to be that thing. And I walked away kind of going, all right, well, whatever. Nice try. See how
let
a sequel
ask
looks.
You a question. Let me ask you a quick question. Let's say that you're Superman, okay? And there are four Kryptonians threatening your mother's life.
Yeah.
What do you do? Well, I take my mom out of there. No, you fly your mom away? I guess I would fly my mom away. Are you sure you don't just take one of the Kryptonians and punch them through two silos and into downtown Smallville? Well, where's my mom? Oh, you left her with three of the Kryptonians that want her dead.
Yeah.
You just fucking left her there.
Yeah.
You punched this guy towards people and told them to go inside the buildings that you're going to punch him through again. And then it's like, which, by the way, we all know it's because we need him to punch through an IHOP, a 7-Eleven, and a softer side of Sears. So they have their moment where they go, oh, watch out. Superman, thank God you land on the softer side of Sears.
Yeah.
The IHOP. I'll have what he had. Wink.
This is what's happened. I walked out of there thinking what I thought, and then I talked to you, and you made me madder about it.
That fight in Smallville?
Yeah.
Okay, because someone's like, well, he was punching Zod. He didn't know where he was going. It started at his house.
Yeah.
He grew up there. By the way, his house, by the way, which is on a fucking farm.
closest neighbor's like 3 miles up the road.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I mean, he had to fly into people.
Yeah.
What the fuck is happening?
I don't know if you guys all saw the damage report that those forensic dudes, scientist guys did. They basically said, all right, here's New York, and let's just pretend that kind of devastation happened in New York. And it was something on these like orders of magnitude higher than anything 9/11 dished out. It was like 229,000 people missing or dead, probably dead, 100-something thousand confirmed dead, $2 trillion in damage over time, just all kinds of crazy business. And when you start to look at that and then remember how that felt, like, Mark, you're fresh off the farm out there. You just saw this devastation. Did you at any point during that city stuff just go,
stop.
You're killing everybody. Like, what are you guys doing in here?
Well, a square mile of New York City. Can you imagine the number of people who just couldn't get out in time? The amount of deaths that would result and the collateral damage from all of this was just, it was just too much. It was like, it was out of place. It felt completely ridiculous. And it was overuse of this thing that they wanted to do, that they just did it over and over and through the buildings and through the buildings. It's like, Jesus, come on.
Yeah.
This is actually
such,
just
– So let me just jump in here.
Compare Avengers – we'll let you jump in. Hold on. But compare the destruction of the Avengers, which for some reason didn't bother me, to this. And I said to Angie, why did the Avengers – New York getting attacked? That's New York. Why did that not feel and she's like, I don't know. Maybe because Captain America was trying to save people and they never showed anyone covered in ash trapped under rebar in the fucking Avengers. Like, my wife is like, that's just like 9/11 footage.
That's the problem. You can't have a cityscape destruction scene anymore without someone and most people thinking about 9/11.
Yeah.
It's very hard.
It's impossible. And they know they're
invoking. Play your cards right.
And they know they're invoking it too. You know they are.
Yeah.
And they know they are, is what I mean. So, Stephen, you're going to pop in. What were you going to say?
Sure. I didn't love the movie. I also didn't hate the movie. I'm kind of middle of the road of the movie.
Mm.
But I will say this. The last time I read a Superman book, which was this week, I saw cities getting destroyed. When I watched Justice League of America, the most awesome episode where Superman is fighting Darkseid, they are punching the crap through buildings and things are falling down and there is ultimate destruction in a cartoon on a Cartoon Network. In the New 52, when Darkseid attacks, whole blocks are leveled in a comic book.
Yeah, but doesn't Superman...
So to say that people aren't dying, that's never happened before, that's ridiculous, because you can see in the comic books buildings that have collapsed. You can see things that have fallen apart and you know that there are people trapped in the rubble and who have died. I have brought this up for years, especially when I rewatched that awesome scene in Justice League. And when I see the destruction that happens in the Marvel comics, I'm like, how come no one ever takes any of the collateral damage into account? Where are all the people who are displaced, the people who are killed, etc.? Where's all of that? And actually, there was a Marvel series called Cleanup Crew, or what was it?
Damage Incorporated.
Damage Incorporated, that dealt with the cleanup of a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's been done. You're right. It's been done forever. But
so when people just keep on going on and on and on about all the death and destruction and how we've never seen this before, yeah, we have.
Right.
People are just forgetting.
No, but okay. But the difference is, okay, look. The difference is in those things, Superman's like, I got to get away from these buildings, and he's not able to, or something.
Or get these people over there.
It's not that. The difference is that Superman didn't blow up, didn't show up and go, fuck this building.
Right.
Well, okay, here's how you fix it. Here's how you fix your movie. This is simple to me, and this is where they missed an opportunity. Everybody's complaining about how he snapped Zod's neck, which is, a whole other problem, or some people have a problem with it, whatever. All that devastation, you fix it in a tiny bit of dialogue, and the tiny bit of dialogue is this. It's Clark. He's straightening up after this. He just yelled. He just killed this guy. He looks up. He looks around, and it dawns on him. This is my first time up to bat. This is my first time showing the world what I am and what I can do. This is bad. This has gone wrong in every way. A little bit of dialogue would have fixed that. A little bit of holy shit, I have to
– yeah,
this isn't going to work.
There are a lot of really good moments in the DC animated movies and even in DC comics where Superman has a conversation with Lois on top of the Daily Planet where the two of them can talk about what's going on emotionally with Clark and Superman. And I think if they would have had a scene like that at the end of the movie where he's like, I can't believe I did this. This is my first time. Look at all this destruction that I've caused. I can't let this happen again. I think that would have redeemed the character.
Or at least even just have a scene where he's trying to get away from the city but keeps getting pulled back for whatever reason, if it's to save someone else or physically getting pulled back into the action. Just show that he's trying to do
here's
that.
Here's what everyone is forgetting about the movie. The reason why that wouldn't work is because the core of the character is that he was raised by good people. And that is what they left out of this movie. Jonathan Kent, in every iteration of Superman, from the campiest to the most serious, taught Clark that you are here for a reason and it is to protect people. And he never, until this movie, taught Clark, be afraid. Don't reveal yourself. Let people die if it means
you can stay secret. Yeah, that scene was actually disturbing when he's like, should I have just let them die? And his answer is,
maybe.
It's like,
and he
really?
Stuck to it. He stuck to it.
Is that what you
it.
Say?
Yeah. And he stuck to that belief.
Well, and that's what caused him to die.
That's why he died. It's like, no, you can't reveal yourself. You can't trust people. You can't trust humans. They will think that they'll go religiously nuts. They'll go nuts. They'll go nuts. They'll go nuts. And he's at his dad's grave. And his first thing to Lois, he's like, my dad said that if I reveal myself, they'll hate me. What do you think? He's got no compass.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't have trust of humanity. And when he does reveal himself, humanity has no trust in him.
Yeah.
And he has to build that trust. And he has to build that trust up.
Go ahead, one of you.
No, I'm just saying there's a lot of trust that has to be built up here, right? I mean, here the world is exposed to an alien for the first time who's doing these amazing things. If that really happened, you expect all of us to suddenly bow down and say, all hail the Superman? No, we'd be like, who is this guy? He's going to lead an alien invasion right to us.
Yeah,
well, and I think as much as this must
suck. He did lead an alien invasion
to
them.
He did. All the more reason not to trust him.
All right,
I was going to say, as much as this might suck for someone like Scott who's, has this history with the character, this is definitely, it wasn't that enjoyable to me, but was definitely a more realistic take on how this character might be perceived in our world and how things might go.
I think that's fair. That's fair. Sure.
It is.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because I've had a lot of people email me and say, oh, I really like the movie. And I always say, God, I am envious. Like, I'm glad I'm not saying you shouldn't like the movie. I mean, and I'm mad, but I'm not Goyer and Snyder, they wanted to make a movie. They make the movie that's interesting to them. DC gave them the property. They should make the movie they want to make. It's up to us to decide if we like it or not. I can't like it. God bless you if you can. I'm envious because you just got a really awesome Superman movie if you loved it.
Yeah.
And look, the special effects and everything are great. But to me, to me, the thing is that if you're good, this is what we said about Into Darkness, Scott, and why I kept saying people are like, well, you know, they're borrowing and they're doing this and they all the criticisms. And I kept saying, yeah, but they get it. Yeah. They get it because at the core of it, they get it. So all the other stuff I can forgive because they get it. It's about, you know.
It's Kirk and Spock and they get that.
It's Kirk and Spock and it's about friendship and it's about loyalty and it's about, you know, camaraderie. And, you know, Star Wars is about destiny and Superman is about an ideal. It's like saying if you're going to make a Superman movie, this doesn't count. If you're going to make a deconstruction of the Superman mythos, this counts.
Yeah.
And it's like if they had told me Snyder and Goyer and Christopher Nolan are going to deconstruct Superman, I would have been like, all right, I don't know that I want to see that, but at least I know going into it that they're deconstructing it, and I'm in the mindset. I mean, it's not like at the end of Red Sun, the comic book, I went, no! Yeah. Because I know going into it, they're going to be like, what if Superman landed in Russia and not in Kansas?
Yeah.
But it's like, what the fuck is up with DC? And then you read the article, the Mark movie Wayne. Originally, Zod zapped the Phantom Zone. And they're like, Snyder and Goyer are like, what if he kills him? And Nolan said, you can't kill him. And they're like, well, what if we did? And he's like, you can't. Christopher Nolan said, you can't have Superman kill. It's not the character. Then it's not Superman. So Goyer and Zack Snyder go to DC. What if he didn't have a choice? What if he could kill? What if he had to kill? And DC's like, no, you can't have him kill. Well, what if we found a way to where he really didn't have a choice? And DC goes, well, if he doesn't really have a choice, I guess it's okay. Boom, Superman.
Yeah, but
kills.
His choice of the tourist family that are probably among about the 100,000 other tourist families who already died from
the
fight.
Well, here's the thing. This is the great – this is possibly Snyder and Goyer's – greatest fucking trick is we're so busy debating whether or not this is a Superman movie or not, no one's talking about the plot holes. And it's like, what was Jor-El's plan? What did he want to do? Why was having a natural child the future of Krypton if Krypton's dying? And if having natural children is the future of Krypton, why does he need the Codex? And once you inject the Codex into Kal-El and you alter his DNA, is he even a naturally born child anymore? And why did Zod throw a revolution? And if you're going to throw a revolution and you're going to punish Zod, wouldn't you just leave him when the planet's going to be destroyed in a half hour? Why put him someplace safe where he's
get
the
him
only
out of here.
God that can survive? Why put him on a ship so that when he comes back, he's got a whole ship?
Yeah, but I mean, you could do that to all of them. How are you going to save Lois? I don't know. Fly around the Earth backwards? That'll work.
No, I understand that. But what I'm saying is it's full of plot holes.
I mean, everything has plot holes, right?
But
I mean,
did you guys see
Magic Kiss?
Ultimate,
come on.
The Ultimate Prime. Well, that's just bad. That's just dumb writing.
That's just bad.
Did you see they CGI'd Reeves' face in?
No. What? When? How? When?
Okay.
What was this? Hold on. I need photos. What happened? How was Christopher Reeves in that movie?
They CGI'd his face.
Oh, yeah. There's a part where he's running through the street or something, and there's a Superman stand or Christopher Reeve as Clark Kent standing on the corner.
No. It's not.
It was when
that.
He was shooting up to the thing to
destroy
it. Right?
He was underneath the thing and he's in the ray. And
yes,
all that,
I didn't know that, but I was watching it going, holy shit!
Yeah,
he looks like Christopher Reeves. How did that happen?
Oh, there it is. Okay, here I'll give it to
link
the chat
to
room.
It. Yeah, and here. That's why, dude. This is what they accused Abrams of doing. This is what they accused Abrams of doing with Star Trek, but they actually did it in here. Don't put Reeves' face in there.
Yeah, now that I see it, I do remember thinking the same thing.
That's an odd
yes.
move. What's
I didn't notice that?
That
at all. This is all new
really
to me.
Weird.
Yeah, what an odd thing to do. Why would you do it? Is it just their idea of a tribute, I suppose? I suppose it was. I mean, they had other Easter eggs in this movie.
It's a very important part of the movie. It's where he decides he's going to find the strength to punch through, and they have not earned that yet with this writing because they've written a terrible Superman. So what you do is you sneak a piece of Chris Reeve in there so everyone goes, oh, there's fucking Superman, there he is, I see him now.
Right. So my takeaway, I think, still stands. This is a weird alternate universe thing.
Yeah.
And it's fine on that level, and there was things to like about it. But I'm also with Mark that even if you're not invested in Superman, I found it kind of emotionally dead. Mm-hmm. And then I'm with Scott on a lot of issues about you know, if you're going to do a Superman movie, make a Superman movie. Do I need to see the origin story told exactly the same every time? No. You know, I think it was, I think there was a, I like the idea that they didn't, that his, you know, the whole glasses are all I need to look like Clark Kent and no one will know I'm Superman thing. They kind of just threw that away, and that's great.
That was really cool.
I thought that was a good move, and the way they handled it was great. I'm like, oh, we're just going to go straight to Lois knows who this is right now. There's no kissing him to make her forget it. None of this stuff's going to happen. This is just these are some cool alterations to the campy, stupid ideas that have been around for too long.
It was a really great last line. And Cavill is a good Superman. He looks the part.
Yeah, he does. He's beefy, man. Oh.
Yeah, he is. When I got into comics after Crisis, right? So I got in like 88, 89. So I missed out on a lot of the things that happened after post-Crisis. And so this week I've gone through and I read all of John Byrne's Superman, Man of Steel, and Action Comics, everything that he did during that two-year period post or three-year period post Crisis. And what Byrne is doing is he's making Superman more human, making him have to make mistakes and having him not be a demigod or a god in this piece, but in, and what a lot of people are pointing to, actually has him killing a pocket universe version of Zod in that run. That's his last story that he does. And regardless of everyone pointing to that as, haha, see, Superman can kill or does kill or whatever he does, there are repercussions that come after that, not written by Byrne, unfortunately. But he's humanizing him and trying to make Superman more like us, more relatable. And I get this weird feeling that that's what they're trying to do in this movie.
Well,
they're trying to make Superman more relatable. So
well, they are, but Superman, that's the problem. Superman isn't supposed to be like us. We're supposed to be like him.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And here's the whole point
of Superman that they miss.
Can they fix it, though, with this idea? So here's my idea. And I feel like they almost have to do this to get me to get excited at all for sequels or whatever. They have to come back in Man of Steel 2, Electric Boogaloo, whatever they're going to call it, right? And they're going to get up there, and they need to immediately address this devastation. Now, they've already kind of screwed that up a little bit by him talking to the general and the chick, and she's hot for him or whatever that dumb joke was at the end. Like, the disregard for the loss of humanity near the end was kind of breathtaking. But they still have a chance here to go, kind of like Iron Man 3, let's address at least the idea that this city was just decimated, and you're really responsible for this, despite, you saved humanity, but you killed 300,000 people, and these are the Americans that you're trying to protect with your truth, justice, and American way. So why don't what we need him to do is, this needs to be really hard to get over. This needs to be humanity having a hard time trusting him again. Law and Order SUV guy needs to be a little less ready to just accept him for who he is. Like, it needs to be hard for him to claw back and show them.
Well, he's dead.
Oh, he died? I forgot. Did he die?
Yeah, he died. That amazing plan where they had to drive. Of Clark's traveling to Earth is a bomb now, and they have to drop it on the ship. And rather than let Superman fly that thing into the Kryptonian ship that's got Kryptonians coming out of it and is attacking all the people, they put it on a fucking plane with humans to fly that one to that ship, and he goes over to the Indian Ocean where there's nobody.
That was weird. That was, I forgot he did that. That's another, there's things like this all throughout the movie, no question about it. But I think they have a chance to, keep using the word redeem, but they have a chance to redeem the character. I'm not fully confident that they will, but if they don't at least address it, then forget it, dude.
Everyone's on the planet in the last scene running around like it's the fucking Mary Tyler Moore show. They're having zany antics on the planet going, I got tickets to the game. Tickets to what game? There's no one's going
There's no
to
stadium.
Any games. All games are canceled for a long time.
That is some time in the future. That's some time in the future, though. We don't know if it's 6 months, a year, or whatever in the future.
Yeah, and they kind of did roll back to the whole Clark Kent is just wearing glasses and you guys can't tell who he is thing, even with the end where he gets hired at the Daily Planet. You go and talk to Morpheus and he acts like he's never seen that face before, even though that had to have been the face on every camera, every newspaper, and every internet page, blog, freaking Twitter account.
Oh, no. Remember, all that was destroyed.
Oh, jeez.
Remember, they destroyed the city.
Yeah, right. But the rest of the, the other thing is, it's harder in the world we live in now. We just, that stuff, you can't believe in those things anymore because It's too hard. The whole world saw this. Everybody saw it. His face is plastered everywhere. There are animated GIFs of him on freaking Reddit. You know, like if they're going to say, here's modern day Superman, well, then you got to deal with that. So to take him in there and have only Lois kind of knowingly go, well, hello, Clark,
yeah.
As if she doesn't know who he is, and Morpheus be that dumb about
it. There was a good bit in All-Star Superman where they address that and make it really, really work.
What they do,
where Superman physically kind of hunches over and sticks out his gut, and just even though he's big and beefy, he looks more slobbish.
Yeah.
So when he does that transformation to Superman, it is really cool.
Yeah. Well, it's not Mark does, so I don't know who he is when he comes to.
That's right. I put a slide on my magic glasses. No one knows who I am.
Exactly.
Now.
So, any other? Every time I talk to Scott about this, I get angry about what they did here, and I wish they wouldn't have done it the way they did it. And I also feel like trailers are trailers. They're misleading on. To a fault. I understand that. But that final big trailer that got everybody pumped for Man of Steel, that thing really sold the movie to me. They sold me a bill of goods that I did not get. I didn't get what they sold.
I agree. I mean,
didn't we have that conversation about the whole parenting aspect and being fathers and tugging at your heartstrings? And there were possibilities for all the father interactions with both Robin Hood fathers. But
I hadn't even thought of that until right now when you said it.
Whoa.
Holy crap, dude.
But, whoa. Yeah, Nicole actually mentioned that to me on the way home. She's like, did you know that Superman's father is Robin Hood, clearly?
Points to the spags. That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. So it didn't really go there for me. And again, I have sympathy for Kurtz on this. But at the same time, if they did a reinterpretation of this character but did it really well and gave us something to love about this guy, I'd be looking forward to the sequels. And I, even knowing something about Superman and not really being attached to it, I don't even feel that they tugged on the heartstrings in the right way that would make me give a shit about a sequel.
Right.
I mean, listen, it was sad at the beginning. Our friend here had to have a talk with his son after a fucking Superman movie.
Well, it was before and after.
Right and wrong.
No, he under,
son,
we had the conversation before.
A Superman movie. We could sit down and discuss.
Yeah.
No, but this is the thing. We discussed it before we saw the movie about right and wrong. And he knows the difference between right and wrong. And he knows killing is not right.
No, I know. But Superman should be teaching. I learned right and wrong from Superman.
I recorded the whole conversation. But he came into more of a yes-no answer. When you put the mic in front of him, he kind of clams up. But I'm asking, you know, what does Superman stand for? What does Superman mean to you? I mean, I think I've told this to people before, but his middle name is Jor-El. And he knows what Superman is supposed to represent. He knows what Superman is supposed to be, somebody that we look up to. But, you know, afterwards, he was like, I sure wish we could go see that movie again. And I have no intention of really watching it again.
Yeah. Did he detect the difference, Stephen?
He liked the action.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really got to him was just there was so much action and so much eye candy in it that, you know, that's what drew him in. Just like it should. I mean, this is an 8-year-old's wet dream kind of movie, right?
Yeah. I'm not comfortable with the 8-year-old wet dream sentence, but I know what you're saying.
I mean, you know, kids really going to get off on this kind of stuff because it has that action. It has the hero getting the girl. It has the good guy beating the bad guy.
Yeah.
It has everything that some kid wants to be. Now, it also has the good guy doing things that, on a different level, are probably not what you want your kid to grow up to be, right? I mean, I try to teach my kid, don't let people push you around, but also don't hit back. You don't have to punch back.
Sure.
And we go through these things, and I think he understands that this is not the Superman that he likes. It's not the Superman that he watches in the cartoons. It's not the Superman that he reads in the comic books with me.
Yeah. And don't you wish the Donner stuff wasn't so crappy
now?
Wasn't
so hokey.
Yeah, because it would be great to have them get a taste of what we felt when we were kids, you know?
Granted, when I say hokey, I mean, yes, there's a lot of Silver Age stuff that's in the Donner Superman films.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of really cool stuff, like Superman running into the phone booth and seeing someone else there and going, oh, pardon me, ma'am, and then having to run through the revolving door or just running down the alleyway and ripping that shirt open and you see the Superman logo underneath it.
Sure.
I mean, there are some really great things in the Donner film, but there's also a lot of really bad stuff in the Donner films as well.
Yeah,
Krahulik showed his 9-year-old returns, and he was thrilled.
Yeah, no, a lot of people.
Same way with
yeah.
Superman Returns is the same way. There's a lot of really great moments in Superman Returns until you realize he's a deadbeat dad that's stalking his
former wife. Oh, I hated that story twist. That was so dumb. That was really... Look, honestly, as much as it's a bit of an empty chocolate cake that we're talking about here, it looks real great on the frosting, but you get inside and it's kind of there's a little bit of cat poo in there. That is kind of what Man of Steel is. But for me, I'll take the entirety. This sounds bold, but the entirety of Man of Steel over that one plot twist and Returns. I freaking hated it, dude. Hated it. That was so. What is that like? That's like that may as well have been on the Oxygen Channel. That story twist. It was stupid. That was real, real, real stupid. So maybe I'm being a little hyperbolous, but it was real dumb. all right. Well, I don't know. We could beat Superman to death. Of course, he'd beat us to death and 200,000 of our friends. But
it really sucks because, I mean, it's just there's so much to love about what the materials they had there. They had – and it's just you know, once again, it's just these bored men going, well, boy, this idea of Superman being a goody two-shoes is just so boring. Well, that's your job is to make it interesting. Yeah. It's not your job to abandon it. Yeah. And it's like you had this perfect guy, Cavill, such a great Superman.
Yeah.
And you know what? We'll get sequels. They'll make more. So hopefully they'll nail it.
Maybe things will get better. Here's one other thing. You can't have – yeah, and I'll give the mic right back to you, Stephen. You can't have irredeemable – without Superman. In other words, we enjoy Irredeemable for what it is and what it does and how it twists things and makes you go, oh yeah, what would that be like if he turned on us, you know? But we don't have that without the ideal. So it's almost like they made Irredeemable or a shade of that, and now we don't have the ideal, at least a generation of potentially, you know, kids and movies and moviegoers or whatever don't. I mean, we all do because we've seen it and we know it and whatever, But you know what I'm saying? There is no Irredeemable without Superman. There is no Ultraman without that. There isn't even Martial Law is a dumb comic. We talked about that last week. I've been all into trying to find those. That's stupid now if there is no Superman to juxtapose this against.
And right.
I think that's really important. Anyway, Steven, sorry.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, shoot.
Not important.
Sorry.
I was going to say it's really – okay, so as far as sequels, you know, they were talking immediately that they were going to fast track a sequel to Superman 2 and maybe have it in theaters as early as December 2014 or mid-2015. They could still do that. Henry Cavill in an interview with either Hollywood Reporter or Variety said this week, don't get your hopes up for a Justice League movie just yet. It's still not greenlit and it's still not a go.
Okay.
So Warner Brothers may be having – some second thoughts. I mean, the movie dropped 64% in its second week at the theater. I haven't seen what week three has been. We'll find out this weekend if it drops even further, if it even makes the top three. But this is not going to break $1 billion like Iron Man 3 did. I'll be surprised if it breaks $1 million, but I think it's going to be like 750 million tops.
Yeah.
I mean, that's certainly something to warrant a second film, but I think there may be some hesitation now on how do we clean up this mess now that 50% of the audience hates it and 50% of the audience loves it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they've already – to have it a turnaround that quick, I think it's been planned. I think they've already filmed a bunch of it.
Oh, you think so? They probably – yeah, some principal stuff. Maybe. And if they do, you know, I'll see it and it'll be interesting to see what they change or do or whatever. But it's just – it's such an opportunity to do – it's the right mindset for Batman. What they did to Batman with Begins and Forward were smart moves, and they made sense for the character and setting it the way they've set it in the modern day, and it works.
There's a reason why you're tired of that mythos, though, Scott.
Yeah, you're right, but I understand
because
that.
Because you can only be cynical for so long.
I understand that, but I would argue, Scott, that all your points are prescient here because without you – Batman only works, even the Nolan Batmans only really work because it, in a weird way in the back of our mind, we know that the non-cynical ideal is out there. And so when DC turns around and hands us something we can't truly juxtapose against Batman and say, yeah, there's the Clark to his Bruce, it's one of the greatest conflicts in all comic history, these two guys.
Still and could be.
They can be. I'm not saying it can't in life, you know, whatever. These are movies. I mean, Donner had him throw a cellophane logo on a guy. That was stupid. So we get over
when
it.
When they do have the team up, at least Bruce can say, well, I didn't intentionally kill somebody. I didn't kill somebody. I just didn't save him.
Well, that's the funny thing. That's the weirdest thing, and then we should just get off it because it's getting boring. But, like, the night that I saw Man of Steel, I walked into the house and I went, sorry, I just went upstairs and said, I'm just going to go play WoW. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And Angie goes, it's okay. It's going to be okay, Scotty. And I go, yeah, it's all right. It's not a big deal. It's just Superman. It's just the most important cultural figure since fucking Christ and Hercules. Don't worry about it. And I went upstairs and I put the TV on and Dark Knight Rises was on.
Yeah.
And I just let in the background. And the scene it was on, he and Catwoman are fighting. Bunch of thugs. She kicks a gun out, picks out a thug, and he knocks the gun out of her hand. He goes, "No guns, no killing." And I'm like, "Tell fucking Clark."
Yeah, I'm with you. All right,
yeah, we gotta.
Let's move on. Batman or Superman in theaters now. Man of Steel, go see it. See what you think. Don't let us decide for you, but now you know what we think. All right,
you don't have to take our word for it.
No, that's right. Check out a book. It's in a book. Smallville's Michael Rosenbaum wants to be in Man of Steel's sequel as Lex Luthor.
Man of Steel, don't get me started.
I know, that movie? What the hell? Lex Luthor is out there. Although Superman's key nemesis wasn't seen in Man of Steel, the Luthor Corp Tower appeared in the film, making it clear that the brilliant but twisted billionaire exists somewhere in the DC Comics cinematic universe. With that in mind, this is according to spinoff.com, Smallville actor Michael Rosenbaum wants to make sure he's on the radar of Warner Brothers and director Zack Snyder when they are casting for this character. He said in a tweet, "Can the Superman fans out there spread the word that there really is no other choice? Let Cranston stick to meth. Thanks." I think he's – I mean, I wouldn't mess with Cranston. But Cranston as Lex Luthor is only interesting to people because he's bald right now in Breaking Bad. And it kind of bugs me that they go, "Who would be a good Lex Luthor?" Michael Cranston. Why? Because he's bald.
He's the perfect bald guy.
Right. I mean, he's a good actor, too.
But I'm fat and bald, so therefore I would qualify as well.
I think he'd be a great...
Oh, of course he would.
He really would be a good Luthor.
He would be, but the baldness, it's because he's bald. If he wasn't doing another show right now, if he's doing a really hot TV show without being bald, they wouldn't even talk about him.
Why do I feel like Bryan Cranston has been a voice of someone in...
I think he probably has been.
That makes sense to me. I'm almost sure we've heard something recently with him in it.
Oh, he was Batman. Oh.
No.
He was in Batman Year One. Let's see who he was.
Not Red Hood, Under the Red Hood. That's what I'm thinking of. All right, anyway. You guys look that up. Lex Luthor, not cast yet. We'll see. Rosenbaum is probably.
Ah, he was Gordon.
You know, yeah. Hollywood likes young, so. Rosenbaum, I don't know. Whatever.
He's not technically really young.
Not anymore. But didn't he not want to do this anymore? I thought he'd left Smallville because he was sick of being typecast.
He was one of the ones that was tired of it.
Yeah, he didn't want to be typecast anymore. Is this like CSI Miami? What's his name? He's sitting around going, well, that didn't work, so I guess better go back to being that thing everyone liked.
He ran out of money. So. Shit, got to make some money.
All that Rosenbaum money, just poof, gone. Also in the news, Kick-Ass 2 makes Jim Carrey fill himself with regret, so he's in the new Kick-Ass 2, which, by the way, if you didn't know he was that character, I don't think that looks like Jim Carrey at all.
No, it was surprising.
I watched Incredible Burt Wonderstone, A Regret,
yeah,
and he's in that movie, too, and when you first see him, it's like, wait a minute, that's not Jim Carrey.
Yeah. It's frightening sometimes how they... I don't know how he does that still, and as he gets older, it's even weirder, but he says he doesn't like the violence in the film. He says he finished wrapping the film just before that Sandy Hook massacre and now feels pretty deeply that the violence is too much and he won't support it.
Was he not aware of what movie he was in?
I think he was, but the thing was, he shot everything before Sandy Hook, right? And then after the Sandy Hook incident, he was like, oh, crap, you know, this kind of stuff happens. And now sensitivity's changed for him. And he's like, look, I know I did this. The movie's out there, but don't ask me to promote it because I won't.
Yeah,
which gave a hell of a lot of publicity to the film. So
this is
preemptive for him. This is him trying to get ahead of what will be a story. Because what happened is after Sandy Hook, Jim Carrey decided I have a voice and a platform, and I'm going to speak out for gun control.
Yeah.
And so what he's trying to get in front of is when he goes and he's really pushing gun control right now and gun control laws. And when Kick-Ass 2 comes out, everyone that's going to be like, oh, you're for gun control, but look what you're doing in Hollywood. You're teaching violence.
Mm.
He's trying to preemptively get ahead of this story.
I could see that. The Clark Kent in me, not the Bruce Wayne, wants to think that, you know, a guy really had a change of heart. And what would show me that he means this is if he gave, you know, $10 million to the families of these kids or something. Like, if you really want to, help, then help. Don't just say, I didn't like it. Got a sweet paycheck. Well, maybe he has, and maybe he does that in private, and maybe it's not for me to know. You're right. I guess that's my point. Is I'm trying not to be too cynical about it. I like Jim Carrey. I think he's interesting and does crazy stuff, and his movies are weird. But I don't. I'm not ready to sign this off as that he's a douche at all in this. And people get so resentful when somebody comes out.
I don't think he's being that way. I just think, you know, he's inadvertently by saying, "Oh, I don't want to promote this movie." He's promoting the movie.
Yeah. What's another? There was something else like this.
He's making the story out of it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Coming out a good guy.
Yeah, that's true. But what isn't there something? There's somebody like this recently where they did the same thing, and I can't remember how that all turned out. But there was somebody who was in a movie, they regretted it, wanted their names. I don't remember, but it seemed like it was a similar setup, and it was all about violence and stuff, and whatever. He looks crazy weird, and though if you haven't seen the trailer, you'll be like, "Is that Jim Carrey?
Like an old man?
It's really weird, and he's all buff and stuff." You know, Buffin stuff, that hot new cartoon is a cartoon in the 70s.
That's a Croft.
H&R Buffin stuff.
That's it. All right, let's get to some quick news here. Beware the Batman coming to the Cartoon Network. Steven, you've seen the
preview
stuff.
Yeah, the trailer looks good. Yeah, a good friend of the site, Thomas Perkins, is the art director behind that and doing a lot of stuff with that. And it looks fancy, but at one point there is a shot, not in the trailer, but in the early promotional art where Alfred is holding a shotgun or a pair of guns.
Whoa.
And so it'll be interesting to see if that's a stun gun or what exactly that is.
Well, but he doesn't have
mixing. Yeah, they're mixing all sorts of stuff in this upcoming series.
Huh.
You know, my initial reaction to any new Batman animated series is, oh, this is going to suck.
Yeah.
And then about a year into it, I'm like, yeah, this isn't too bad. And then when they cancel it, I'm always like, why did they cancel it?
Yeah. Where do you stand on the whole Justice League versus Justice League Unlimited? Because my kids want to watch the second one, and I haven't seen any of it.
Oh, yeah. Just watch it. I mean, because it's a great pickup and then just carries on with the story and just runs it and runs it and runs it to where when you do hit that final season, you're just like, I cannot believe that they decided that this show was not interesting anymore.
Oh, man.
Which one was that?
Unlimited?
The Justice League Unlimited.
Hmm.
Oh, it's really good.
Is it?
Yeah, it is awesome.
I was worried because, Justice League, we like, okay, that one's all right. And then when that happened, I thought Unlimited was like, oh, everyone's going to be wearing weird armor now.
No. Unlimited is where they bring in other members into the Justice League. So you get to see, like, Green Arrow. He's got a great, great arc. You get to see The Question. He plays a good role in this. You see Supergirl brought into it. I mean, just Justice Leaguers left and right who've ever appeared show up in that show. And it's a really good show. If you haven't watched it, what's wrong with you?
I don't know. It's on
Sit
Netflix.
Sit down and watch it tonight. Watch the first Justice League Unlimited. Ooh. Has the Green Arrow show up.
All right. I'll do that.
I don't know what this quote is from, but someone just sent me a Superman quote, and it made me want to cry.
All right, what's that?
Dreams save us. Dreams lift us up and transform us. And on my soul, I swear, until my dream of a world where dignity, honor, and justice becomes a reality we all share, I'll never stop fighting, ever.
Wow. No matter what it takes, no matter how many people I got to kill.
Hold on, let me pick up this building and hit someone in the head with it.
Yeah, let's do that.
Someone tweeted earlier in the week, they will follow you. You will join. They will join you in the sun. Throw them in the sun. Got it.
That's pretty
good.
Someone
in the chat room is saying, speaking of Green Arrow, is Arrow still on? It has been renewed for a second season.
Yeah. I heard it's doing all right, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I pulled out about three in.
I pulled out after the first episode.
Mine was two. Yeah.
Man. All right. Well, enjoy your Green Arrow. All right. Let's see. What else? Marvel wants to talk to Vin Diesel. Nobody knows what about. There's some rumors that he could be cast as Groot in Guardians of the Galaxy, possibly Thanos, which has not been cast for Avengers 2, as far as anyone knows. Any guesses as to why Vin Diesel should be in any of the Marvel properties?
Marvel, talk to me.
I like him as a presence. Like, I think he's interesting. He's an interesting guy to just look at and just have him be huge in a room and stuff.
You know, he may not be too bad as Groot. Remember, he was the voice of the robot in Iron Giant.
Yeah, he's the one that said Superman as he flies.
Yeah, he's not going to be Groot.
No, yeah. I don't think he is either.
Guys, the answer is very obvious.
What is it?
They've already started filming this movie.
Yeah. Cleveland.
Principal photography started. He'd have been cast already.
Yeah.
But one thing they don't have to worry about is the actor for Rocket Raccoon. Yeah. And they already said Rocket Raccoon's not going to have a stupid little squeaky voice. I think he's going to be the voice of Rocket Raccoon.
Look at what they'll – yeah, you're right. They're going to turn it on its head. That voice is going to be deep and hard instead of some stupid animal voice.
And they don't need him yet. Yeah. They can film the whole thing and then put his voice in later.
Yeah. Yep. I forgot. Yeah, no, my favorite Vin Diesel movie is Iron Giant.
I like it when people get all worked up about, oh, no, Marvel can't talk to Vin Diesel. That means he's going to be in one of these movies. Well, you got to remember, Marvel also talked to what's-her-face from Desperate Housewives, Eva Longoria. And she never showed up in an Avengers movie. Maybe they just wanted to talk to Vin Diesel to say, we don't like you very much.
You know, XXX, what's going on with that?
They've got Disney money. They can go up to people and just say, we don't like you very much.
What's up with that XXX?
Or maybe they want to talk to him about being the Thing. Because they are going to make a...
Yeah.
Well, except that ain't Marvel, though, right? That's Fox doing
it? It's Marvel Studios still doing it through Fox.
What? Wait, what? I didn't know that.
What? No,
everything is still owned by Marvel Studios.
Oh, I thought everything, they...
Marvel Studios is still in part of in that. Regardless, Marvel still gets a huge cut of all these movies. That's why they're not in a rush to say, oh, we want these properties back, because they know that if these other people are making the movies... they're getting a huge chunk of that money.
So even when Spider-Man,
Marvel and Disney are going to make a crap ton of money off that movie.
Okay. All right. Kick-Ass. Not Kick-Ass. They don't get no money from Kick-Ass. Titan Comics launches with a new lineup this San Diego Comic-Con. Is that exciting to us? A bunch of ex-Marvel and DC folk online to do some stuff. You excited, Steven, for a new publisher?
Titan Comics, I mean, they've been around. They've been a British publisher for a long time.
Yeah.
And so they're just relaunching and bringing a lot of their stuff and making their presence in America more known. Yeah. So I think it's good.
Yeah. Speaking of which, July 18th through the 21st, Comic-Con.
Woo-hoo.
I'm excited because I'll be in Las Vegas that week, and that means there'll be less people in Las Vegas. Actually, you know what? Maybe the right people won't be in Las Vegas, and maybe that's bad. But anyway, San Diego Comic-Con. Kurt, you got a booth. You're doing the booth, right? You're there.
Can I make a prediction?
Yeah.
My last year.
Whoa. This is some bold moves here on the show tonight.
Just all because you're tired of it, or because they're being too wacky with their booth space?
It's not – it's a very expensive show. It is a break-even proposition, and no one cares that you're there. Yeah. That's the biggest reason. Another reason is that it really technically isn't a break-even proposition if you count time lost. And it's 2 weeks of your life gone.
Yeah.
And the show has gotten so big that I don't have to be at the booth anymore, which is going to be interesting this year. And the reason why I say that is a negative thing . It's because normally people don't want to buy things from my booth if I'm not there, because they're there to meet me. They like my work. They want to support my work. And they don't want to just buy the book and walk off. They can do that with Amazon and not have to go to a convention.
Right.
The point of going to a convention and buying a book from my booth is that I'm there and they can interact and sign it. San Diego, nobody cares. The only way to get them to stop at this point is to show them some kind of pop culture funny phrase that they think is funny. And the only thing that stops people at my booth now are the t-shirts and the posters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like Joss Whedon is my master now, or Hotshot First, or any of the motivational D&D posters that I do. No one stops and says, oh, is this your comic? They just don't care.
Yeah.
They're there for pop culture, and that's not bad at all.
Right. That's just the way it is now.
They're there to soak all in the pop culture. It's not a big buying convention. And it's becoming a show where you go to promote. So if you're not a company with a big marketing budget that's looking to promote your brand, there's really not a reason to go.
Yeah.
And I'm very confident saying this will be my last year. I'm better. My time and money is better spent going to a number of shows in Canada, Emerald City Con.
Not to mention here, PAX, you know, or it's your people, man. Like you've got your
PAX is shooting fish in a barrel. It really is a con of just my fans.
Right, right.
So
right, but you know, again, San Diego's interesting. Mark, you went a couple years ago. You guys planning on going again, or what are you doing?
That shit's hard to get tickets to.
Yeah,
it is. It's.
I mean, so even if we wanted to go, I don't even know that we'd be able to get tickets.
That's a good point. Well, at this point, I think they're. Aren't they long gone?
No, they've been sold. They sold out. I mean, they will be sold out of the 4-day passes for next year's show by at Sunday of this year's show. Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, we were able to get tickets that first year, but then after that, forget about it, and we just gave up trying.
Emerald City 2014, baby. That's what I'm going to next. Well, Comic-Con-ish. Yeah, I'm going to go. Let's see. What else? I'll get through these pretty quick here. Dark Horse Comics moves to the iBookstore. If you like your iBooks on your iOS/Apple devices, you can now get Dark Horse trades and stuff like that on there, which is kind of cool. It's better than their app. Their app is shite.
Yep.
So use that. That's a much better way to get it, and the prices are comparable. Archaea, what the hell is
Archaea?
Am I saying it right? Archaea. They, Boom Studios, they bought that. How's that going to go?
According to them, it's going to go wonderfully. They're still going to keep Archaea as an imprint. Yeah, it's going to keep them as an imprint, and you'll still be able to get Rust and Mouse Guard and all that stuff through Boom Studios. And I don't know when that transaction completes, but I believe probably by October.
I believe Rust is one of the coolest names for a comic book ever.
It is an awesome little story.
Yeah, I want to pick that one up. Marvel's going to give Spider-Man a sister and family business. This arrives April 2014. That seems stupid, but great, whatever. It's comics. Let's do this. And then finally, Disney announces dates for two untitled movies coming up. Doctor Strange rumored to be one of them on 5/6/16 and 5/5/17.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah. He's my favorite.
I really want to see a Doctor Strange movie.
Me too.
How do you do? What do you do with that guy visually? Do you think you don't
magic it up?
But you don't have him in the big pink robe and all that anymore.
Oh, sure, why not? Man, we've already seen the Eye of Agamemnon or whatever it's called in the Thor movie.
Agamotto.
Agamotto. We've seen that in the movie, and just, you know, the magic-y stuff, I think, is going to add a unique twist. Now, will he be walking around with Captain America and Tony Stark? No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But I think this could be a really fun movie.
You remember back? Go ahead, Mark.
I'm just going to say, I just Googled, just out of curiosity, Doctor Strange, and there's a lot of pictures of Johnny Depp showing up next to him.
Oh.
Is that like who they're predicting to play him?
Vin Diesel.
It's all coming together, dude. It's all making sense.
I know Dempsey said he wanted to.
Patrick Dempsey?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Oh, that's interesting.
He likes Doctor Strange.
Plus, he's got a pretty good look for that.
That could work. Yeah,
that'd be all right. Well, we'll see. That's it. That is a bit interesting. If one of them is rumored, let's hope it's in 2016 and not 2017 for some reason that I can't explain. All right, let's get to quickly what we have been reading right here.
Wait a minute. Don't leave me here alone. I'll talk. I'll tell you everything I know.
Scott Kurtz, what have you had time to read since we last spoke?
I read the new X-Men with the all-girl cast.
Oh, weird. How's that?
Really awesome. And it's only 3 issues. And I'm like, what the... Like, because I got to issue 2, and it's like, to be concluded next issue. And it's like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
So it's really good.
Yeah. No, wait, tell me, I'm sorry, because I'm totally out of it on this title. Is it just female X-Men, or are we talking about, here's a reimagining of Cyclops lady?
No. Okay. I mean, that's the hard part for me, is because I'm so far behind on X-Men continuity that I'm kind of jumping, I'm kind of making leaps that I didn't, you know, I normally wouldn't have to, probably. But no, it's just a team. It's just like, here's a new X-Men title, and it's a, you know, because, you know, every time they make a new X-Men title, it's like the team, they change the team up.
Yeah.
And this is a new X team, and it's Storm and Jubilee and Rogue and Kitty Pryde and Pixie, and all the girls are fully clothed up to their neck.
Wow.
You know.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was really good, and I'm like, that really stinks. It's only.
Does it end well? Like, you feel like you're satisfying, or do you think they could have just kept going?
I mean, I love Storm. She's one of my favorite X-Men. I just kind of wish they would have kept going.
Yeah.
I would like to see him keep going.
Yeah.
Read Chris Samnee's Man of Steel, or not Man of Steel, Adventures of Superman.
Yeah.
Jeff Parker and Chris Samnee did it. It was the issue that everyone was freaking out about Orson Scott Card being a part of it.
Oh, right. How'd that go? We talked about that here.
Well,
they don't have the
blacklisted him. They told Orson Scott Card he couldn't do it.
Oh.
But That whole book was a series of short stories, but Parker and Samnee's, I just love Chris Samnee's work. Yeah. So I read that and really loved it. Finished up Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
And it ends with Angela showing up from Spawn.
And apparently she's always been in the Marvel Universe.
And it's just like, what?
That's so weird.
It's so weird. Yeah,
it's really weird. As a collector of Spawn comics in the 90s, and I loved them, I really liked it. To hear that Angela has anything to do with Marvel now is just the weirdest idea to me. But whatever.
And it's like the last issue that was just super convoluted time travel stuff, but Wolverine had to kill himself. It's so dumb. But then I'm like, all right, you know what, Scott? You should go back and finish all new X-Men. Like, you started it. You bought 9 issues. Yeah. You took away from it. Bendis was going a little bit crazy, but go in there and see what happens. The Beast went back in time and got an older versions or younger versions of the X-Men above in the future to stop Cyclops. And I went and took like a preview, and it shows the young Jean Grey becoming the Phoenix, and Beast goes, "Oh, Jeannie, no, not again, not again." I went, "I'm out.
I'm done." I can't relive that.
No. Just come on. Come on.
That makes me laugh. All right.
Also, I highly recommend to get the Taste of Man of Steel out of your mouth to download Mark Waid's Superman Birthright.
Yeah, very good.
Great book. And Mark Waid's, he's the one that did the big rant online last week, right?
Yes. He did.
Yeah. Yes. And it was a good justification, just like Scott's justification on why they didn't like it. Yeah. Both very good, and I liked it.
Yeah. He got a lot of heat for that, but I don't know why. I thought it was pretty reasonable. He even liked some of the Pa Kent stuff. He thought some of that stuff was all right, but anyway. All right, cool. That's a good list. I can tell you that I've been reading, and I think Scott last week reminded me that it even existed. I was already a giant Sixth Gun fan. I didn't know about these prequels, the Sixth Gun, Sons of the Gun prequel issues. And I usually kind of balk at that. Someone will tell me that's a thing in comics. I go, oh, okay, well, I don't know. Those usually don't turn out well for me. I love this prequel. And I'm only a couple issues in, but it's just like a comfortable shoe. I know these people. I know now I'm getting a better taste for where some of these guys came from. If you felt short sheeted in the first few issues or the first story arc of The Sixth Gun, when the posse of bad guys, you don't know where they came from or what their backstories are or why the hell they are who they are and what these guns have done to them. And you kind of felt, oh, I would like them to have been around a little longer. Here's your freaking chance, man. Like, there is some crazy business. I cannot recommend it enough. I love that. Everything about that series, this is no different. Could not recommend Sixth Gun, all of it, more than I could right now. I just love it. And I kind of owe this all to Kurtz, because I had no idea this series existed until our first episode of the show.
Yeah, the TV show didn't get picked up.
I know. It sucks. But, you know.
Were they turning that into a movie, though?
There's other talk, right, of movies?
Yeah, I think there's something going on with that.
Right. So, just, you know, whatever. The comic is so good, they could totally blow the movie, and I don't care. I just love this comic book. Wormwood, I'm still reading that. Wormwood, Gentleman Corpse by Ben Templesmith. I've talked about this before. Good news, it's still weird as shit. Very weird comic. It's 99 cents an issue, totally cheap, and the art is crazy. And I don't know where Ben... I don't know what drugs he takes and what he does to come up with his ideas, but it is the weirdest take on like kind of a detective story, but set in this like mid-world space between reality and the demon space, and freaking guys, a corpse with a symbiote worm in his eye that controls him everywhere. It's just awesome. I love it. Wormwood, Gentleman Corpse. I can't even explain it. It's a waste for me to try. So definitely check that out. All right, Mark, what are you up to?
You know, it's been one of those, like, there's periods of time where I'll get into a new game and it just dominates everything and I forget that I read comic books.
Yeah.
And Last of Us did that to me past couple of, well, it hasn't been out that long, but that's my excuse. I've been getting into that game and I read Invincible and Walking Dead and I don't have anything interesting to say about either at this point.
They're just what they are, as they always are.
Kind of the same old stuff. In fact, as much as I like both of those series, I think I get to a point with some series where I'm just like, you know what? I'm too much into the issue by issue thing, and I'm not getting the real, I don't know what the author is intending me to feel from this, because I'm not reading it in large enough chunks. So I think I'm going back to trades on both of those, because I'm just kind of like, every issue just makes me go meh. But I know the story is still good, so I don't know. I don't know if you guys do that, if there's things
you
follow.
I definitely do that, yeah.
Yeah, it's just some things are just better read in chunks like that. So
oh, like this this Gentleman Corpse thing, I couldn't read it if I couldn't do it all at once. It would be the stupidest thing ever. It wouldn't make any sense. I wouldn't remember anything. It's too convoluted. So yeah, I think there's some value in that. For sure.
Totally. But I slacked off with my reading this week.
All right. How did Last of Us though? Pretty awesome, yeah.
I'm enjoying it. I don't. I think Nicole and I heard on Final Score she was kind of down on the game mechanic in there, the whole stealth concept. And I don't mind it so much. I actually, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, a lot of people. Pretty good game. Praising that thing up and down.
A little too much though. Personally,
it's
I don't think it's intense. Yeah, I don't think it's worth the praise it's getting. It's good, but it's not like, you know, the best game ever.
Yeah. When you get to the end, I'm curious how you feel about how the story all turned out. I just, you know, I've spent so much time in Animal Crossing lately. It's just.
Well, now talk about a great game.
More opposite than that. Steven, what are you reading?
I've also just been super, super busy. Someone was just tweeting me asking me about a book, and I was like, to be honest, I have a stack of comics that have been building up since January that I haven't gotten to.
Yeah.
But I did this week catch up on Batman. From DC Comics, the Scott Snyder run.
Oh, yeah.
I'm missing
Bruce Wayne.
I was only behind. Yeah, yeah, that guy.
Millionaire vigilante. Got it.
Can you believe that? People, and he goes around pretending he's a billionaire, and people can't put the two together that he's really a.
What an ass.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They had a Clayface two-parter that was really good. I really enjoyed how the take of Clayface in this new 52.
Yeah.
And I just finished the first chapter of Batman Zero Year and Batman number 21.
Yeah.
And there's just this one moment that Scott Snyder's really good about, just dropping these non sequitur things in there and then waiting 6 months to tell you what it all means. And there's a moment in this book where Gotham is a wasteland, and I don't know if this is part of the no man's land, if they're trying to force that into the new 52 continuity, but there's just this place that it looks like, what was that Will Smith movie? Night Stalker or whatever it was.
Legend.
Yeah, there's this scene, like two pages where Gotham City just looks like Legend, and Batman's running around in it, and I'm like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
And so I'm interested to see how he follows up with that. So,
okay. Nice.
And then as I mentioned earlier, the John Byrne Superman run, Man of Steel, Superman and Action Comics, reading through those. And again, it's given me a different perspective on Superman that I hadn't thought of or read before. Yeah. And of course, John Byrne's art is really, really good in this series.
Scott Kurtz, what was the Superman book you recommended earlier? Was that the same one?
Birthright.
That's Mark Waid.
Man of Steel is pretty good.
I just need to remind myself to finally read that because I never.
Yeah,
have.
it's all on Comixology. The week leading up to the Man of Steel movie release, they had like a 99-cent sale on a crap ton of Superman books, so that's why I picked up a bunch of them.
Yeah.
I think they're now back to the $1.99. But Mark Waid's Birthright is also very good.
All right, I'll give that a shot. All right, cool. I was going to say something about, when I'm off an NDA that I signed, I can't wait to tell you and everybody about a near miss I had with getting something really awesome from Greg Capullo, but I can't tell you what it is. I'll tell you about it.
Is that hashtag humble brag?
Yeah, and hashtag Johnson poll, but I'll tell you about it when I can get there.
Okay.
All right, quick email we got here from a fan. This is from Travis. He says, I'm fairly new to comics, and I absolutely love listening to your show. I have a question I just don't understand when it comes to comics. I think it's a great question because sometimes we forget not everybody's pulling down issues or knows what's up with, you know, different things, and this is a good one. Can you please explain to me how there can be multiple comics featuring the same hero? For instance, the difference between Action Comics Superman, Superman Unchained, All-Star Superman, etc., or even all the Batman series is. He wrote that. As the issue gets released, the same version of the same hero in just different time periods? Am I supposed to read them as if they're all separate from each other and they don't really exist in the same universe? Help, Travis.
It depends.
Depends, right?
Yeah,
it really does.
So, like, that's like right now, the Batman through all the series is supposed to be the same Batman, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's just having these different stories. Because Batman's so popular and there's so many Batman stories to tell, it's the same Batman in the same time period. At one point, in referencing the John Byrne run, you were reading these stories each week. So you'd go from Superman to Action Comics to get the second part of the story, and then back into Superman and back and forth, so that biweekly, or in one case, I know they were running it so much that it was like every week you were picking up a Superman title just so you could get the complete story. And they were tied together. And this was a big thing that DC did through the 80s and 90s, which was a real pain in the ass, and I hated it.
Right.
But in this case, if you want to read just Batman, like what I'm doing, and not Detective Comics and not the other stuff, that's fine. The only one that is a Batman of a different time period is Legends of the Dark Knight.
You could also call, I mean, it's not actively running, but you could say Long Halloween is a different time period and all that. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And those exist. Like, there's another one I was just thinking of that I read that is totally out of place for Batman. I can't remember what it is, so forget it.
One of the more frustrating things as a fairly new comic book reader getting back into it, and I'm sure you know brand new comic readers have to reach this point of frustration where you realize that there are no rules, and you could just even the same series can be rebooted, and things you thought you knew about mm-hmm. this character, they don't exist anymore.
Yeah. Right.
A realization I had was I used to read comics as a kid, and I grew up, but the comics industry didn't. And I don't mean that as an insult. I just mean it feels like no one can make up their minds or stick to a decision in their business and the way that things are written. It's all over the map. And once you internalize that and become okay with it, then you could just enjoy every story for what it is, but never expect anything to be consistent across anything ever.
Yeah. Right. If you pick up Kingdom Come, you're like, hey, Batman and Superman, check it out. Oh, they're old as shit, and this is different. Yeah. And, you know, it's not, there's no continuity there either. So, sure, you gotta.
Yeah.
And freaking Batman Begins, Batman or Dark Knight Returns, pick that up and you go, when is this happening?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Oh, it's happening in the 80s, in the future. Future 80s is when it's happening, if you really get down to it. But yeah, it's hard. We totally understand, Travis. But you aim for, and hopefully we do this as a show and we talk about what we read and stuff. But best thing is to aim for, you know, people who are really into comics, listen to what they're liking. Like that Hawkeye series is so damn good.
It is really good. And you don't have to know what's going on the Avengers. You don't have to read anything else. You could just read Hawkeye and enjoy the hell out of that.
But even when a book like Spider-Man is really bad about it, or the X-Men books, even when there are multiple titles, like when Spider-Man has three books, if you stick with one, like if there's Amazing, Spectacular, and Superior Spider-Man,
yeah. Right.
If you just read Amazing, it'll be a continuing story. Usually there's a team of editors that make sure that the writers of all the series know what's happening in each one, so they can kind of pretend there's a recurring continuity, and every once in a while there's a crossover or a mention of what happens in another title. But I think the status quo is that the books run simultaneously, but you don't have to read all of them.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Right.
Batman right now is like that, and I think all the Superman titles are that way as well.
Those old asterisks that tell you that
I miss those.
This happened in the issue, blah, whatever. Yeah, you don't see those anymore as much. All right. Thank you, Travis. Thank anybody who emails us. You can do that easily. ComicDorks@gmail.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it. That's going to be a show. Let's go around the table. Scott Kurtz, anything cool to pimp that you got going on?
Yeah. If you check out my blog right now, if you go to Kickstarter, my buddy Brad Geiger is doing a sequel to How to Make Webcomics called The Webcomics Handbook. You can back that on Kickstarter.
Congrats on the voice thing deal. That's awesome.
Oh yeah, Armacrog funded. So I guess I'm gonna be in a video game.
Yeah, Veronica's in that too. That's some friends of the program involved. That's awesome.
I'll be in a video game, and now it's gonna be on the Wii U too. So that's crazy.
Whoa. Yeah.
TableTitans.com, PvPOnline.com, and pretty soon I'll be able to pimp this new Mappy animated series based on the old Namco video game that Chris and I are doing.
Yeah, I saw some stuff on YouTube. That's looking cool. I can't wait to see what you guys have done. Very exciting. And follow Scott on Vine. He does some funny stuff on there. I like his vines. I also like Chris's a lot. Mark, what's going on in the woodworking world?
we're just turning wood and making it into other things. The woodwhisperer.com for all the woodworking stuff. And you know what? I should mention my personal blog, which I don't really do things on very often, but it's not woodworking related. Yeah. It's marksbag.com. I talk about actually it's where I might talk about things like comic books. So for this, folks listening might be a little bit more interesting. Tech stuff that interests me, stuff dealing with my family, my kids, or being a podcaster and trying to make a living at it. Topics like that I get into. So it's marksbag.com.
That's awesome. And that new table you made looks like an Atari logo. Pretty cool.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. You had no idea, right? Until happy someone pointed accident. It out.
I was editing the video and I'm like, well, shit, look at that. How'd I do that?
That's pretty rad. All right, Steven, what do you got going
on? Majorspoilers.com, 7 years next week.
Wow, congrats.
Yeah, congrats, dude.
Thanks. And finally going to do something big. And for those of you who will be at Nerdtacular, yeah. On July 3rd, that's a couple of days before Nerdtacular, but we're getting there late on July 3rd. We're going to have a drink in the bar to celebrate because that's the official birthday of Majorspoilers.com. And I'll make an announcement to everybody there. Scott knows what it is, but nobody else does.
Yep, I won't.
Not even the people that work for the company. So that will be cool. And then also something that just came in yesterday, Steve Jackson Games has a brand new Munchkin exclusive only through Target.com, Munchkin Legends. I'm going to bring that to Nerdtacular and we'll record a live episode of Munchkin Land there.
Oh, rad. That's nice. Awesome. Totally cool. Yeah. So I should mention real quick, if you are coming to Nerdtacular, well, you'll be there and you'll see everything and you'll see what's going on. We have special guests no one knows about yet. Panels all day, both days, all kinds of extra stuff. Tons of tabletop gaming going on. Really for most of us more than that, but 2 full days at the beautiful Snowbird Summer Resort way up in the canyon here in Salt Lake City. It's going to be amazing. And if you can't come, you didn't get tickets for whatever reason, we're streaming the whole damn thing, both audio and video, and that's happening at nerdtacular.com. We'll have links up there and ready to go, so if you want to catch that, you most surely can.
Sweet.
If this cold will leave me, I'll be real happy because I got a lot to do next week. All right. That's it. Check this out. On the web, we're at comicdorks.com. Like I said earlier, you can email us at comicdorks@gmail.com. You can also find us, find our t-shirt at /loot.com. And as always on Twitter, find it at comicdorks. More great shows just like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you guys next time.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.